And just like that, we've arrived at the final TBTL winter game of this blessed holiday season. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us the last couple of weeks and letting us take a little well-deserved time off. Do you think, by the way, my name's Luke Burbank. Right over there is Andrew Walsh. Do you think the listeners would agree it's well-deserved, or do you think that they just can't believe that our job is to do a podcast, and then we also need to take a vacation from doing a podcast?
We're still doing podcasts. I actually think these winter games are a lot of fun.
True.
I think they're good. I mean, they're like, what, like 15? In some cases, they're longer than a regular show, as we saw earlier this week. And in some
unfortunately,
cases,
as
like
we learned this week,
15 minutes shorter. But no, I mean, I actually think the structure is good. I would actually vote for just turning our show into constant games. Nothing but games. We get rid of top stories. We remove some of the leadership of the show. It's me and somebody else. And we just play games all the time.
You know, that's not a terrible idea. Another thing we could do, if we could just get out of the daily kind of rat race of news, because obviously people turn to us for the latest on, you know, just like the big issues. If we could just, if we could pivot to being all internet quizzes, we could do five shows on a Saturday. We just block it out.
That's
just work on Saturdays. We do five shows. That's the those are the shows for the week. And then I can focus more on Marketplace, my show about pets and the business of pets.
I get the petability thing. And then I can do what I've always wanted to do, which that was just for you. That was just for you. And then I can do what I always wanted to do, which is run a small movie theater in the midst of a pandemic. I was just having a thought. There's no reason for me to bring this up right now on the show. But right before we started recording this show, I saw some tweet about baseball, something about Marco Gonzalez. I don't know what it was. But it's just like, you know, some tweet from the Mariners trying to get me excited about baseball here in December, which, God bless them, I am. And it occurred to me, I
will mention that this is being recorded in December. You're hearing this in January.
That's true.
Just in case, you know, somebody was in some kind of space program where they were trying to live in a biodome like they were on Mars, and they don't know about the pandemic or the recordings of this show, and they emerged from the biodome, and the first thing they did was boot up today's TBTL.
Yes, and I apologize. It is posting in January, but we are recording this in December of 1998.
Yes.
So anyway, I just was having this thought.
We've heard 2020 is going to be a strong year. How was it?
Flying cars. We're so excited. I was wondering, and I wanted to ask you this actually off the air, but I'll ask you on the air, because why not? Do you think we will go to, together or apart, either one of us, do you think we will have the opportunity to go to a baseball game this coming season? Or no? Like,
as a noted futurist, I was emailing my buddy Graham today in the time stream we currently live in, saying,
the 90s,
I will see
90s.
You this summer at a baseball game.
You did say that, huh?
I said that, and I believe it in my heart. I tend to think that it'll be funny when they find the wreckage of this recording underneath the bombed out leftovers of what was T-Mobile Field. They'll go, people were living down here because some of the popcorn had filtered down through the rubble and the people were able to stay alive for a few more days. And they were recording a podcast for some reason. I'm just saying this could be ironic if it doesn't go this way. But my sense is this vaccine is going to be, as things become more efficient, as the supply chain gets better and more frictionless, I have a feeling that we will get to, I think that they've been putting out the most conservative possible estimates, as they should. My guess is by June, things are going to look real different in this country. And I don't know why they wouldn't be having baseball games in July or August. I mean, and I will tell you this, if they're having them, I'm going to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I had this almost visceral feeling of being at a baseball game. Maybe, you know, I should mention the sun is out now.
Yeah,
and
it
again,
helps.
This is December 23rd, 1998, but the sun just came out in an uncharacteristic way. And so maybe reading that tweet as the sun was coming in my window, maybe that's what made me suddenly feel like it was springtime. And I was getting that feeling of like, oh, we got to go to a game. And I was like, well, no, there are no games, but could there be games? And that's what led me on this.
Would you like me to come mow a lawn relatively close to your house so you can hear that sound and smell that grass really know baseball's back.
Hey, it just occurred to me, 98, does this mean, do we still have Griffey? Do we still have Junior?
We still have Ken Griffey Sr. He's actually
in 98? Oh, yeah. No.
Probably not.
No.
I don't remember when those guys. I did go to a game in the Kingdom where they hit back-to-back home runs.
You were at that game? You were at that game. That's the only time in MLB history that a father-son duo hit back-to-back home runs, because obviously
it didn't even
not
seem
a lot
like
of
that big of a deal.
What?
I mean, people were kind of freaking out, but it wasn't like you didn't. I don't remember it. I'll tell you what was a bigger deal was when I was at the game, the one game play-in between us and the, I believe they were called the California Angels at the time, Randy Johnson pitching, Luis Soho hitting an inside the park grand slam. Anyway, the Griffey back-to-backs was cool and novel, but I don't remember it being like, because Ken Griffey Sr. was still a, semi-competent MLB player, and his son was a very good MLB player. I mean, it's a cool thing, but I don't remember being like, I will remember this day for the rest of my life.
I wonder if they even won that game. That sounds like the type of
thing
is like so Mariners.
That's probably
like,
was bigger my focus.
Yeah, you're right. They probably, they got that, they made history, but probably still crapped the bed.
Now I got to see.
I'm looking at the lineup for the 1998 Mariners. You definitely still have Randy Johnson.
That was
in
1990, by the way.
So that was 1990. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
September 14th, 1990. And Kirk McCaskill was the pitcher for the Angels. And, this was not what anyone was expecting.
Mm-mm.
Here during the last of the winter games. Oh, there's a quote from Dave Winfield. It was Dave Winfield an Angel at the time? Wow. Forgot Dave Winfield even ever went out and played for the Angels. Okay, enough about that. Let's focus on a game the listeners do want to hear about, Andrew. It is called Television, Radio, or Both. It's sent in by listener David.
And David made this, right? Now, I've been trying to keep my paws off of this one because you're going to be giving me this, but I understand that this is a handcrafted, lovingly...
forged.
Yeah, what does Stu say? Hops forward quiz.
Absolutely. I do believe David wore some kind of leather apron when he was hand forging this particular quiz. Here's what he says. Hi, guys. When I was a teenager, I was obsessed with old-time radio, which I wouldn't say I was obsessed with old-time radio, but I really liked radio drama when I was a teenager because they played it on Cairo, actually, of all places, and on Sunday nights, we've talked about it before on this show, but they had some kind of, radio theater players, which you just wouldn't think like a 14-year-old kid would be vibing with, but I really liked it. Anyway, David said, one of the things that amazed me was how many shows that started out of radio became fixtures on television. So I have written a quiz and a bonus question with links to these shows, radio and TV. Would you guys like to use this for this year's edition of the TBTL Winter Games? So basically the way this quiz is supposed to work, Andrew, is I will ask you, is this a television show that was originally a radio show? Was it only a TV show? Well, I guess it would have to be both, right? Television, radio, or both.
Okay.
Is a list of American-produced broadcast programs. Your goal is to pick which one each is radio... as in only old-time radio, television, only TV, never on the radio, or both. Okay, so that's how it's going to work.
Okay. All right. This is exciting.
Yeah. We should take a break, though. And then when we come back, we'll dive right in. I was going to say the name of the first show, but I don't want you to Google it during the break, Andrew, because...
You don't trust me.
No, you're famously slippery on these things. I know that winning is everything to you.
It's true.
And if I give you the chance, I don't even blame you at that point.
Yeah.
Like, it's, fish got to swim. Andrew's got to cheat on these quizzes, and I want to protect you from yourself. So I won't tell you or the listeners the first question, but we will read it when we come back after this quick break.
Songs bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about high
ever have known this guy's got a British accent. Is he from England? Am I crazy?
He's British, I think. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, no, he's British. I couldn't tell if you're being sarcastic or not because I'm really bad at that. Because in music, it's hard to tell sometimes.
Right.
Yeah,
right. But I mean, I think of Elvis Costello as being a Brit, but then when you hear him singing there, I mean, there's a zero accent, which can't be an accident. I mean, that was some kind of a decision at some point and you know, there was that era where. I think it was kind of typical for British singers to de-Britishize their voices when singing, probably because they felt like it might go over better in America.
Maybe, although isn't it kind of once you start singing, is it hard to maintain an accent?
I think
just
it's
naturally.
Easier.
Oh,
I know that Amy Grant talked in a very very Southern drawl, but when she sang El Shaddai, it just sounded like it was right out of middle America, which is why it worked well at the Burbank House.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, do you think that she was doing that on purpose, or is it just when you're singing, you're doing something else with your voice, so the country of origin tends to fade into the background, unless you're like Johnny
Rotten. I see, so it's less intentional. It just is.
It
right.
just is, yeah.
Unless you're making a statement. Right. And when I sing, it sounds like I have a Cockney accent.
Yeah,
I worked
weird.
Hello, Gavna, mm-hmm. into almost every song I do at karaoke.
Yeah, which is also like sort of the words you're choosing. Using in that case also sort of
sure.
tips the hand a little bit.
Yeah,
you might
so I'll
say.
Do like last Christmas, hello governor, I gave you my heart, but the chip perio very next day. But it's crazy because I'm not even trying to do that. It just
comes
it's
out.
It's just what's happening. Yeah. Okay.
Well, sing your truth. No. Before you move on, I'm going to ask you to do something. You know what the question is. You know what the request is. It's always the same. I want to hear you say, "Hello, governor," as Bill Clinton.
I feel like I've probably done this before.
I feel like I've had this
I've
is a common
done this a
request
a thousand times, but it would have to be I'd have to say, "Hello, governor," which would be like again
good.
Every as soon as you put it in Bill Clinton voice or my version of Bill Clinton mm-hmm. voice, it sounds like they're hitting on someone, which doesn't
well,
sound
not on you,
not like the person in question. Mm-hmm. Okay, first question. Radio, television, or both, the program Meet the Press, Andrew, was it only an old-timey radio show? Was it only a television show, or was it both?
I'm going to say it started as a radio show.
And then are you aware whether or not it's become a television program?
How would I possibly know that? Yes, I believe that it is a radio show that became a television program. Sorry, I wasn't playing the game correctly.
The answer is yes, both. You're absolutely correct. Meet the Press is the longest-running American television program, which I didn't know. But before that, it was also a radio show, which was launched October 1945. In 1947, it made the jump to early television and remained a staple on the radio for many years concurrently. So for a long time, it was running as a radio show and a TV show. Now, here's what's interesting. Just the other day, I was listening to Cairo, which is apparently going to be referenced a lot during this episode, and they were playing Meet the Press, just the television. They were just playing the simulcast.
Really?
It was a Sunday night. That's apparently what they play on Sunday nights now. And I will tell you what, Andrew.
Not bad.
It was very informative. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
It was good radio.
If I was driving and I heard that, I would leave it on. Sometimes I'm intrigued when you can tell when something is TV that is being broadcast over the radio. It's got a slightly different tone to it, and
yes.
I've caught that sometimes, and I enjoy it. Not that particular
that show
program,
was,
but yeah.
Well, it was at this critical moment. I mean, pretty much every moment is critical related to the pandemic and the president trying to steal the will of the people, steal the election. So whoever they were talking to was a very well, highly placed person in the administration or in one department. So it was like, first of all, it was like just good content. But that show, Meet the Press, it's basically a radio show that they're filming.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that they went to the trouble of making both a radio show and a TV version at some point, because you can really kind of double dip on that. There's not a lot of flash going on. Maybe whoever was hosting was doing two or three less resets than they needed to as a radio program, but I actually found it to be very listenable radio on a Sunday night as I was tooling around Seattle.
I feel like we need a little audio spackle for this. I'm going to try this. I haven't previewed it, but I just want some old-timey kind of radio music.
Ooh.
Like yeah, it. How about this? Yeah, we'll go Good with this. Stuff. We're going to keep this behind us for this segment.
Okay. The Today Show. I'm realizing I don't want to say a flaw in David's quiz, but I'm realizing that many of these programs, well, the question as to if they're a television show is somewhat moot because
yes.
They're pretty famous television shows. So maybe the way to really structure this quiz was, were these things radio shows at one time? So, The Today Show. We know it's a TV program.
We do. It is.
Was there ever a radio version of The Today Show? So, you know, you think about the salad days, although now that we look back on them, we learned that they were not as salady as people thought. Matt Lauer was a creep. But the salad days of The Today Show, that'd be probably like Matt Lauer, Katie Couric, a slightly puffier Al Roker, when that show just dominated, was untouchable in the television ratings. Did that all get its start, though, as an actual radio program, Andrew?
Also, who was Katie talking about the internet with in something that went viral years later? Gumbel? Wasn't that Bryant Gumbel?
Oh, maybe. Oh, that could be. Do you have that? You don't have. You're busy playing our Shining music, so it's probably.
Let me see. Is this. You know, this, like, this went so viral that they ended up using this in a commercial years later something else. Remember this?
I remember, yes.
I think they want me to support the advertiser, so I'm going to turn off the ad guard. No problem there.
A 90s click?
We do. We're going to go back for the special.
Okay, sorry about the lead up to this, but I'll just let it roll.
Worthy of our 25th studio anniversary back in 1994, before Twitter, before Insta, before email, all of that.
Is this Carson Daly setting it up?
I don't know who this guy is. I almost called him a name. I'm not going to.
The A and then the ring around.
This never gets old.
See, that's what I said. Katie said she thought it was about.
Yeah. Oh.
I've never heard it said. I'd always seen the mark. There it is.
Violence, oh, they're talking about the at symbol?
NBCGE.com. I mean...
Well, Allison should know. What do you
is
say
internet
about
anyway? What, do you write to it, like mail?
No, a lot of people use it and communicate. I guess they can communicate with NBC writers and producers. Allison, can you explain what internet is?
I hate the laughing over top of this.
By the way, is Allison Stewart...
I don't think so. I think she's talking to her producer off.
Because I know Allison had done stuff with NBC. I was like, that'd be funny that someday, years later, Allison Stewart and I would be paired to do a show that's mostly about, you know, supposed to be thriving on the internet, the Bryant Park Project.
That was from 1994. I apologize that I only found a clip of people laughing over top of it when it should have been us laughing over top of it. Let's get back.
We're the ones who laugh here.
That's okay, right.
Here's
right.
the question.
Let's get back
was
to
the
Overlook
show?
Hotel.
Was the Today Show ever a radio program, Andrew? Answer the question.
Have an opinion already, jerk.
I was so close to saying that, but I was worried that our biodome, a person who emerged from the biodome, wouldn't get that was a joke, and that they think I was just calling you a jerk, so I held off.
I know. I'm going to say no, that was never a radio show.
Man, you're good. It was never a radio program. It was launched as a television show in 1952. It was, check this out, the brainchild of a TV executive named Sylvester Pat Weaver. Who do you think he was the father of?
A Weaver? I don't.
Uh-huh. Oh. You've narrowed it down to a person who had the same last name as the person I just mentioned.
I'm blanking. I think I know who you're talking about. Who? Not Katie. Weaver. Who? I don't know.
God, that would be amazing if it was the writer Katie Weaver. It would also make her much older than we've been thinking.
Yeah, absolutely right.
How about Sigourney Weaver?
Oh, I was trying to think. I thought it was a news person. Oh, really? Sigourney Weaver? No kidding.
Sigourney Weaver of Ang Lee's The Ice Storm fame. Just because that came up the other day.
Sure.
Her father founded The Today Show as a TV program, Pat Weaver.
I lose a point for not knowing Sigourney Weaver, but I also lose a point because I will admit that I did not expect that this show was birthed in the 50s. I would have guessed it launched like in this. It had a 70s vibe to me for some reason.
Yeah,
I agree.
Was
the origin.
That little like NBC kind of rainbow.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a play on the peacock, but they're like, it's the morning, so we're going with this rainbow.
Mm. Man, huge rainbow here in our neighborhood about 4 days ago, 5 days ago. Huge, Luke. We could see both ends of it if we walked to different windows in the house.
Wow. I have seen, right when I moved here to Portland, I saw a couple of, must have just been seasonal, like kind of when it was still a bit sunny, but the rain was starting to come in pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw two of the most vivid rainbows. Like, I could see what was basically the beginning and end of each rainbow, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
it was almost going right down to the ground, which had to, you know, go over there and manhandle a couple of leprechauns to get my gold, but it worked out.
Yep.
All right. Let's see here. Truth or consequences? Truth or consequences? Now, I know Truth or Consequences as an old-timey radio show, I think.
Okay.
The question would be...
So you're doing the quiz.
I am. I'm doing the quiz along with you. Are you familiar with the program Truth or Consequences?
No, I was going to guess that it's a radio show and not a TV show.
Okay. It's actually both.
Mm-hmm, okay.
It was a radio program in the 1940s. It was an instant hit with listeners. It was the first game show to air on broadcast television, airing as a one-time experiment on the first day of the New York TV station New York station WNTB's schedule in 1941. So that was back in the radio days. Then it jumped up to TV in 1950. It was on from 1950 to 1988 with host Bob Barker.
Whoa.
Would you like to hear the television version of Truth or Consequences from 1973, hosted by what I can only imagine is a very young Bob Barker? The pride of... Wait, I think the last time I looked this up, I was technically wrong about it. I think I thought Bob Barker was from Darrington, Washington. I might have been wrong. But anyway, here is Bob Barker hosting the TV show Truth or Consequences. Oh, wow. This is like a... Let me see if I can get to the beginning.
Oh, we've been waiting for you. It's time to play Truth or Consequences. And now, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the star of our show, Bob Barker.
Didn't he host Barker Place?
Thank you. We have a nice audience of people from all over the country, and I'm going to have the pleasure of meeting some of them right now. Would you come out here to me, young lady? And we have
it's so interesting because this basically looks like sort of like The Price is Right. There's a big crowd. They're very happy to be there, which makes me think this was Bob Barker's lane. Also, Bob Barker doesn't look that young.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
this is 1973, but he kind of looks like he has a comb over. He kind of seems like he's in his, you know, mid-50s already. He's not as useful as I expected. Again, people are shocked when I tell them Bob Barker is still alive.
Oh, he is? So he could host Barker Place.
I need to double-check this because...
I thought he had passed away, but that's why would I say that? That's not nice to say about somebody.
Well, he's not young. He is not young at all. Bob Barker, actually,
he's still with us.
1923.
So he's almost
100
years old.
And he was born in Darrington, Washington. I win the game.
All right. Well, that was a lot. Well, it was both easier and harder on me than I expected.
He's 97. He's a young 97.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, you have the somewhat local connection. Mm-hmm. I think you need to get him to host the show. And I assume you were the EP of Barker Place. I don't know what your plans are.
I think now that he's seen how much engagement my tweet got, I think he'll probably jump at the chance. It's very interesting because as a careful scholar of male pattern baldness, what I can see is that Bob Barker in 1975 is combing it over. But what's interesting is once his hair went white, in the Price is Right era that we're used to as children, I don't ever remember thinking, oh, Bob Barker's hair is, he's losing his hair, which I think is a strong argument for letting your hair go white if it's fallen out.
The question is why let it go white?
No, the observation from me is that Bob Barker in 1975 looks like he's losing his hair, and Bob Barker in 1995, when I was in high school watching Price is Right in the summer, looked absolutely fine in the hair department. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he got a hair transplant. I just think he stopped dyeing it with shoe polish. And there's something about the hair being white that just kind of, I've always said that if you're a guy and you're losing your hair and it still has all of its color, that's what looks a little funny sometimes because I think our brains are trained to see having dark hair as a sign of youth, but then losing your hair as a sign of sickness. But when your hair is all gray or even white, it sort of looks fine. It makes sense. I never knew Bob Barker was losing his hair in 1975 is what I'm trying to say.
But you're not accusing him of doing like that. What we now famously call painting your bald spot. This, you are not accusing him of one of those people, not McConaugheying it, where he had less hair but then gets more hair as he gets older because he's up to some sort of trickeration.
Not that I can see. I just think he just stopped dyeing it. It got gray and then it got white. And then he just seems sort of like a regal older gentleman holding an impossibly thin microphone that was like a wand as he would do his golf games, which I've always said only existed on the show so Bob Barker could show off his putting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, you want to run through the rest of this even though I've already won?
Can I set the tone? Let's get this going again.
Oh, I'm going to pick one off this list that I think you're going
to
like.
Okay, welcome back to the Luke and Andrew Hour. Okay, you're up.
Batman.
I assume that there was, it started as a comic book.
Okay, that's not on the list, so just put that out of your mind.
Okay, well, I'm quite sure that it started as a comic book. I'm going to bet a lot of money on that, and then I'm going to do a side bet and say that it also was a radio show before it became a TV show. No? Really? There was never a radio version of... Because famously, there was a Superman show, but there was never a Batman show. Interessante.
While an enormous and oddly brief hit on television... I think that's a reference from David to the weird tone they took with the Adam West version of Batman.
Yeah.
While an enormous and oddly brief hit on television, Batman never made it onto the radio, with the exception of a few guest spots on Superman's program, Andrew.
Interesting. Okay.
The Batman TV show with Adam West and Burt Ward ran from 1966 to 1968. I'm obviously no scholar of the Batman verse, but it is only in my... I think because I was a kid and Batman reruns were on, just like UHF TV or something... I didn't understand how weird and kind of in its own way subversive the Batman TV show it was, and how campy it was, and how that was a crazy decision to go with.
Yeah, that they were in on the joke, what they were making. As a little kid, I just didn't like it. I just didn't like the vibe of it. Because, again, that was 1960s, right? Maybe even into the early 70s. And then while we were growing up, it was the 1980s. And it just seemed really antiquated to us. Even though I was watching all kinds of black and white television shows like Andy Griffith and what have you, there was something about that show that didn't sit right with me.
And also... I had already been ruined by seeing very buff superheroes.
Sure.
Even Superman, although it's funny because you look back at the Christopher Reeve Superman, and he's not that bemuscled. But I just remember looking at Adam West in his kind of paunchy outfit and that, and thinking, this isn't what my superheroes are supposed to look like.
Can we take a listen to this? So I found the actual episode of Batman on the Adventures of Superman radio show from 1945.
One of the corny skeletons grabbed the young lady that was in the boat with him and disappeared right out of this world with her.
Great Scott, that must have been Lois. Lois Lane.
Now take it easy, Kent. Where did you speak to the boys, officer?
Right here it was.
Where did they go after they spoke
toy,
to
toy, toy.
No, okay, there you go. We got a little taste of that. I love that.
That was good. I would have, no joke, I could listen to that.
Yeah, me too. I've been listening to a lot more.
I would find that maybe David and I are cut from the same cloth, because I would really, I could sit down and be very entertained by a half hour of that.
Have you ever heard of a radio station here in Seattle, Washington, AM dial, AM 880, Kixie Radio?
Unfamiliar.
They play a lot of music that is as cool now as it was then, but then at 8 o'clock each night, they switch over to some sort of radio drama, and I'm really into it. I'm really into it when they play the vintage stuff, like The Whisperer, which is awesome. But then they also, and I don't want to, I mean, why would I go negative here? Sometimes they also play modern radio drama that is in like the style of old-timey stuff, and there is one show in particular. The other day it came on, and I was like in a perfect mood for this. I'm like, I was so excited. I told Beavs, like, it's 8 o'clock right now. I can catch the stories from the beginning, because it's a pain when you jump in 5 minutes in and you don't know what's going on. I'm like, oh, so I grab my phone and I dial up Kixie and I put on my headphones, and instead of being something from the 1940s or 50s, it was something from today, and it was a show that I won't use any names. Well, I guess I don't know the names, but it was about a mother-daughter detective team, and it was so bad. It was so terrible. I was so excited because I had to water my air plants, which is a whole process of puttering I have now, Luke, that I just love. Because I don't want to spray them on the wall because I think it'll ruin the wall. So I take my little air plants down one by one. I take them into the bathroom lovingly.
It must be hours of fun for you.
It's so great. And I spray them with a spray bottle. And I talk to them a little bit and I dry them off and I hang them back up. And, you know, if I can listen to my stories. But this was terrible. It could not get me through it.
You know, there are a handful of podcasts that people speak very highly of that are like radio dramas, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't understand why that holds no appeal for me after I've already laid out that, like, I really like radio dramas. But that's just not something that I am drawn to. I wonder if I actually, like, was going on a long drive, as I may be even as this is playing. Hopefully I'm home by now or something has gone wrong, but I will have spent some time driving around, you know, like rural Texas. And I don't know. I don't know why I couldn't get it. The one you're describing doesn't sound like it's up my alley, but there's some of these, you know, Max Fun has made ones that are well produced. And
Homecoming was a huge one. That was the one with Catherine Keener, and it was packed.
Yeah, did you listen to that one?
I listened to the first two seasons. I definitely listened to the first season and liked it. Then the second season, I think, left me a little bit cold, especially maybe where they ended it. But, like, that had David Cross had a cameo in there, and I think Amy Sedaris, and there are people in the show that I absolutely loved, and it was okay, but it was still off a little bit. There's something about, I enjoy the stuff from the 40s and 50s more.
Maybe it's because it's more stylized, and it's like you kind of give them some slack, like you're just not expecting, like Catherine Keener, I'm expecting to just be feeling this incredibly intense emotional response to Catherine Keener because she's a talented actor and somebody that, you know, like, but if it's somebody during the Colgate hour, you know, they're coming out of a Roy Donk song.
Sure, sure. Yeah, King of the Tut-Tut then, Sound.
Then if it's a Squiggy Shorthorn, that other name that he
likes. Shorterly? It was something Shorterly.
Squiggy Shorterly. Anyway, okay. Let me power through a couple more of these because there's a special TBTL note that we should try to throw in. Okay. How about The Twilight Zone, Andrew? The Twilight Zone.
Ooh-wee! This is a good question, Luke. And David, I'm going to say...
But mostly me.
I mean, I appreciate you. I mean, you're the one who's delivering it to me, so I'll give you the praise.
Thank you.
David, who... I'm going to say I'm gonna say it was a radio show. It feels like it could have been a... Yeah, no, I'm going to say it was a radio show first. Damn, I was cringing waiting for that. Dang it.
I know, but you're totally right. It feels like it would be a good radio show, too. Like some just early Rod Serling, just a theater for your mind.
It definitely was born out of the radio era. You know what I mean? It feels like it has those conventions. What about Alfred Hitchcock? Did that start as a radio show? Do you know?
I don't have that on my list, Andrew. Yeah, and as you know, I'm nothing without David.
Yeah,
and so
true.
I can't tell you the answer to that. I try to pretend in public, I try to pretend like I'm the brains behind this quiz. But when you ask me one question about Alfred Hitchcock, it just all comes crumbling down. This is all David, and he let us down as a listening group by not including Alfred Hitchcock. But yeah, that feels like it's kind of the same era. And it sounds like it seems like it could have totally been a radio program as well. My guess is that The Twilight Zone just came onto the scene right at about the time when TV was kind of ready for it, and so they didn't have to make that little stop on the radio first. I'm also a little surprised that, like, well, I guess it would have been too easy, like the George and Gracie show. George Burns and Gracie Allen. Good night, George. Good night, Gracie.
Now you feel like that feels like it was radio, was it not?
Oh, it was 100% radio. Yeah. And then I think they had a TV show too, but anyway, how about this? Gunsmoke.
Radio show, then TV show, and then eventually web series on Quibi.
God damn, you are cheating, aren't you?
How did I know
three of those?
Yeah.
Gunsmoke was a monumental hit on radio and television. Radio show started in 1952 and ran until 1961. It was one of the last old-time radio shows in the decade, apparently. The TV version launched in 1955, ran for 20 years with reunion movies playing into the early 90s. Wow. Gunsmoke reunion films happening when I was also starting to watch Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, and those were for your grandparents, you know, your grandpa or whatever. Yeah.
The special TBTL note from David, there's also an Australian version of the program running on the Macquarie Network concurrently using American scripts. It is not known how many shows aired or how long the series ran. Let me see. I don't know if this will cue right up. I think David has tried to do this. An Aussie version of Gunsmoke, cued to the lines from a red-blooded Texan with Crocodile Dundee mouth. So just imagine this is Gunsmoke in Australia, with an American. Oh, he did, David. Thank you, David. Did cue it all up. This is a hot, red-blooded American in the Aussie version of Gunsmoke. Take a listen to this,
Mr. Marshall Lawman Morgan. You're just spinning the words that don't mean a thing. Did you know why? 'Cause you're scared. You are, and rightly so.
Of what?
Of a red-blooded Texan. Of me.
All right, Texan.
You hear that, fellas? The great tough Matt Morgan scared.
Oh, boy, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't what?
I wouldn't boast. Not with two guns in your hands. Two guns I'm taking. Like this. Oh. All right, show's over. Start playing again, fella. Yeah, get O'Brien, you Max Straper. Pick up the text and carry him to the calaboose.
I will do that.
It makes sense that Australia would be down for a radio show like Gunsmoke because, you know, it's a big open, you know, it's a big open country itself. And there's all kinds of roustabouts out on the cattle station. Remember we learned about that?
Sure.
Remember we hung out with some cattle station guys in Laramie.
I still follow that one guy. Remember that young guy who was from the States?
Yes.
I still follow him on Instagram, and I find it really fascinating as he makes his way back and forth across Australia. Although I'm very confused. It's so confusing, Ron, that because I thought they were going to have thick Australian accents, but it sounds like they're doing American accents, right? Are they trying
I think the hot-blooded Texan was trying to play Texas accent, and I could hear a lot of Aussie behind it. And then I think the other guy was just trying to do a slightly less Aussie accent, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because my guess would be, and I'm going off script here from what David wrote, so we're kind of flying blind, but I have a feeling that probably in that time, if they were to just put an American radio drama just straight on the Australian Broadcasting Network or whatever it would be, maybe it wouldn't be interesting to people because the accents would be off-putting. And so they were trying to kind of Aussie it up, but maybe they were just not that effective with it. But they were trying to split the difference, maybe? I don't know.
But that's what I'm really confused about, because they were using the same American scripts. So if they're using the same scripts, then clear. And, you know, there's a good example of it right there. He says specifically, I'm a red-blooded Texan. And then if you're doing that and you're not really leaning into the, you know, dialect and Australian accent, then what is the point of doing it? Like, I could see them saying, we're going to make our own version because of all the reasons you set up before, which is like wide open country, the outback. The cattle, all of that stuff. You could like kind of
adapt. Good day, mate. You're about to eat some gun smoke.
So you could adapt it to that culture and then make some changes and even adapt each script. But if they're just doing the American scripts and kind of hiding their accents, just listen to the original. I don't know. I'm confused, Ron.
Why? You haven't even got a gun, but I've got these rise up lights. That would be what it would sound
like. Why would you have lights that rise up? For the set, you mean? Like to.
No, remember when we learned how to say.
I know. I was just teasing you.
The Winter Games are over.
We're really sputtering out here, aren't
we? Officially over. But David, thank you for putting this quiz together. It was actually really fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And we learned something, which is that Andrew doesn't like my Australian accent, which hurts.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Thank you, baby. That's how you know real life is just around the corner, Andrew. That's how you know that vacation is almost over, when you hear the final donors of the day of the TBTL Winter Games. Classically, that's how people know that it's time to get back to real life. But not before we honor and thank folks like Lydia and Andrew Scarvey of Dothan, Alabama.
Oh, you know what? Lydia, Alabama. This is our Lydia, yeah. the baker.
Yes. The cookie maker and the baker. I mean, I guess I don't want to just... The cookies that Lydia made were so mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to just lock her into just that space. I don't want to say that's the only space that she can play in. She can brand extend. She also made that amazing cake at the Waffle House,
which was made of a third style of dessert, which was a Rice Krispie treat cake, I believe.
A big bite of that later. It was delicious. That was all of my calories for that day, and mm-hmm. it was well worth it. Billy Esseltine of Concord, California.
Interesting you went with Billy there. I like it.
But I don't know if that's what Bill likes. My brain, when I looked at the mostly my brain was trying to concentrate on saying Esseltine or Esseltine. And then I just decided to make Bill a Billy. But I could imagine, like, if you're somebody named William or Bill and you don't like being a Billy, that would have really annoyed you. So, William, please continue donating to the show. And we do thank you.
I call him B-Dog, by the way. I came up with that.
He loves that one.
Yes.
Ariana Gomez of Shoreline, Washington. Now, see, I work with an Ariana. Maybe this is an Ariana.
Oh,
maybe
sure.
Maybe she goes by Billy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I know that we appreciate the donation, and we wouldn't be able to do the show without Ariana. Thank you. Donna Trainum of Washington, D.C. We've had a number of... now, these are... I'm spanning regular TBTL, which we did today, and this special Winter Games, which will air much later. But we also had somebody from Washington, D.C. in today's regular TBTL, and I feel like we are well-placed within the deep state.
Yes, probably.
We got a lot of listeners in D.C., and that's great. Please, I wish you well rebuilding our country. How about Sierra Barsotti of Williamsburg, Virginia? And then, of course, Susan Detrick Atchley of Watkinsville, Georgia. Thank you so much to all of our donors today for making this show possible. And thanks to everybody throughout the year for all your generosity, for telling your friends about the show, just for being part of this, for sending in the quizzes.
No kidding. This has been amazing.
For literally sending in all the content for the last 11 days of the program, or 11 shows anyway.
Was this the best games ever? The best TBTL games ever?
So.
I had a lot of fun. I mean, I always feel good at the end of them. And I know in the past we've had guests come on. And so the vibes the vibes are different. But man, this one was a lot of fun.
These vibes might be the illest.
Yes.
And I think that the only logical assessment of the jams is non-ridic.
Probably. I was going to say semi-ridic, but I think you're right. I think it's non-ridic.
No, nah.
Yeah.
Non-ridic.
Non-ridic. Absolutely.
So thank you, everyone, for, again, spending these last couple weeks with us while we do these shows. And again, thank you for everyone who contributed. We're only, you know, Bean is always counting down to like half Christmas,
yeah.
And it's only like...
Quarter,
like when
Christmas,
it's,
eighth Christmas,
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's like us with the summer games.
Yes.
We're, I mean, who knows? What are we probably?
Well, we're halfway
like 150
there.
Days away from the TBTL summer games,
yeah.
Give or take.
So start sending your quizzes in.
That's what I'm trying to say is if you could help us produce those summer games too, you'd get us out of a couple of jams.
Because I'll be at a baseball game, Governor.
Yes, I will. Chip, chip, perio. We'll put all of the quizzes in the boot of the car. And when we come out of the baseball game, then we'll go home and organize them. So, all right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday with more Imaginary Radio. Until then, stay safe. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Wale. I kick it like Olindo. I wear my Nike boots and Gucci. I don't wear no Timbo. I kick it any tempo. I'm lifted off the endo. I'm popping champagne, drinking till I'm jumping out the window. If the auto-tune's gone, bet they all attune in. So I'ma do it bigger than an Audemars wristwatch. Hip-hop slacking. Why they getting Grammys when these is acting? They phony shit, Tonys for the things that they be yapping. It's utterly baloney, so I'm Muslim to these rappers. Dapping. They lucky we don't clap them. And had them people leaking like they CD isn't mastered. CB isn't plastic. These just has-beens. We ain't making friends while these just Anistons. Big, these just fake, Joe. Hip-hop need to wake up. We the Clyde Radio.
We original, Wale. Officially the most original. If we wasn't so original, then we'd be criminal. Wale and K-9, I don't know if they radio. How the hell did they fit the TV in the radio?
They tell me go in. No problem, I'ma go in. And shine away from drama. I ain't run away from no man. Ain't never been no buster. Prepare for you suckers. Didn't play with my...
Power out.